Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother in Christ. I am your servant in the Lord, and I am your host. And I go by the radio moniker, Radio Reformer. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, Radio Reformer is in the house. And I want to welcome all of our listeners from Europe. Boy, do we get a ton of people listening to us from Europe. We get a ton of people listening to us from Canada. And, of course, from here, the United States. So to all of my listening audience, I want to welcome you to, again, another broadcast of Reformation News. And I know, based on your emails, that you just happen to love this 95 thesis. We've put together a 95 thesis, which is contemporary. We're not using Martin Luther's 95 thesis. His propositions simply do not apply to the abuses and the malpractices in the church today. That's why we had to come up with a new bunch of thesis to present to you. 95 in number, and today we're giving you number 15. And yes, thank you for the emails. Yes, we worked very hard in putting these propositions together, and we give them to you, the listener. Why? Well, because I think we owe it to you to give you an academic argument. I think we owe it to you to present to you something that's going to cause you to think, cause you to talk, something that's going to draw you to a conversation, something that's going to cause you to debate. And we need debate in this hour, because what's going on in the African American church is just asinine. And when I think of the word asinine, I think of the Joint College of African American Bishops. To describe that crowd to you, to describe that organization to you, to describe that corpus, that body, that institution, we wrote a book entitled Jackass Church Bishops. Jackass Church Bishops. You can pick it up at our website, paganbishops.com. Just Google paganbishops.com, and you'll take you right to our website, and you can pick up the book in a PDF format, Jackass Church Bishops. And it describes every member of the Joint College of Asinine Hee-Hawing Bishops, which is the Joint College of African American Bishops. So things are out of control in the black church. We keep challenging them. We keep putting out these propositions, but what we hear from the other side is nothing. 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 We hear nothing. Nothing. And I suspect we're not going to hear anything, because they don't want to debate. They don't want to debate the issues. But their problem is that these propositions that we're laying out, this and whole new 95 thesis, is crisscrossing the globe, and people are talking about it. And we're going to put it, when all is said and done, at the end of 4 or 5 months or so, depending how long it takes us to lay them out, we're going to put this in a booklet format and make sure that we stand in front of African-American churches and we start giving these things out. Oh, that's right. We want members of the black church, members of the institutional black church in America, members of the African-American church who are getting fleeced ad infinitum. We want to give them something that's going to open their eyes. And so we're doing that with these broadcasts in which we're highlighting these propositions. And remember, what do we want to do? We want to reform the church. By reforming the church, we want to remove all defects. We want to improve the church by altering her. We want to correct error. We want to abolish abuses and malpractices, which are rampant. We want to put an end to all kinds of ecclesiastical wrongs. That's what we want to do. That's what we intend to do. In commemorating the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther nailed August Treaty, the 95 Thesis, to the castle door, or to the door of the Castle Church, Wittenberg Church. And remember our rules of engagement. We said that out of love for Christ, out of love for his church, out of love for the souls of men, out of love for truth, I do present to you the Church of Christ Universal, and I also present to the Joint College of African American Bishops the following propositions, which are designed to expose and to bring a grinding halt the current Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. As I promised, each one of these propositions would be brief. They would be brief. And whenever possible, and we have been doing a fantastic job of this, whenever possible, we will not mention names because we don't want these asinine bishops, and that's right, they are asinine. They are stupid. They are stupid. I would say beyond stupid, I would say they're retarded. You have to be retarded. You have to be retarded to think you can get away with joining such a dopey organization as the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, whenever possible, we want to avoid the naming of names because we want to do what Jesus did. Jesus hated, and we want to hate too. We're haters. They call us haters. Yes, we are haters. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ hated? Yes, he did. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, Jesus said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Jesus said he hated the deeds. Yes, Jesus is a hater. Don't be surprised. You probably are because you don't read your Bible. You're too busy reading books on canon law. But if you read your Bible, you would discover that Jesus hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And in Revelation 2:15, you will also discover that Jesus hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So, my brothers and sisters, we don't hate these bishops. Like I said before, because we love the souls of men, and theirs included, we bring forth these propositions. But we hate their deeds, and we hate their doctrine. And it's against their deeds and their doctrines that we do battle against. That's what we do. That's what we do. And so when we present these propositions, we are expecting, not from you, the layman, but we're expecting from these highfalutin bishops, we're expecting a timely and academic response. But to date, we've got none. Now, you may ask yourself, what is a thesis? What is a T-H-E-S-E-S? What is that? When they say that Martin Luther wrote 95 theses, what does that mean? What does that document mean? Well, it means that Martin Luther presented 95 bullet points, 95 statements, 99 propositions, or short statements presenting a short subject. And it's presented for the purpose of discussion, analysis, and debate. And that's what we've done here. That's what we have done here. Now, I presented to you Proposition 14, which reads like this, and then today I'm going to present to you Proposition 15, but the reason why I'm reading 14 is because 14 and 15 are somewhat connected. It says, thus, Proposition 14, it is undeniable that 500 years after Martin Luther nailed his famed 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, the serious sin of simony, which is the selling and buying of sacred things, has made a fierce comeback with the widespread selling and buying of bishoprics in the African-American church, replacing the selling and buying of indulgences in the Roman Catholic Church. That's right, folks. You heard it here first. The bishops in the black church are guilty of simony. It's a serious sin. Serious sin. And what's up for sale? Well, undoubtedly, bishoprics are. Bishoprics are up for sale. That's right. If you were to take these men to a court of law, and if you were to put them under oath, under the threat of perjury, which is punishable for each time that you lie, punishable with 5 years of jail time. If you were to place these bishops under oath, and if you were to ask them if they paid for their bishoprics, now under the penalty of perjury now, and each time that they lie, you're just tacking on another 5 years. They would tell you the truth. They would tell you that they bought their bishopric, whether they bought it with the exchange of cash, or whether they bought it by kissing somebody's fanny, or whether they bought it by doing someone a favor. See, there's many ways of buying these things. Many ways. But it's being sold and it's being bought. And if you listen to the broadcast that we did on Proposition 14, we made our case. Yet we're waiting to hear from the Joint College of African American Bishops. Now, Proposition 15, today's proposition reads like this. It is undeniable that the simoniacal selling and buying of bishoprics in the African American church is out of control. It's out of control. Now, what does simoniacal mean? Well, simoniacal just points back to Simon Magus, the man who tried to buy from Peter and John in Acts 8 the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter turned to that man and said, "Thy money perish with thee." Simon Peter wasn't selling anything. And Simon Magus was told to go take a hike when he thought he could buy the power, the gift of the Holy Ghost, from Simon. You see, one Simon wanted to buy, but the other Simon wasn't selling. The other Simon is Simon Peter, the same Simon Peter that these jokers over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops want us to believe that they succeed. They want us to think, these jokers over there want us to think, we can trace our apostolic succession in the Western stream back to Simon Peter. No, you can't, because Simon Peter was never selling anything. You see, that Simon wasn't selling and he wasn't buying. Simon Magus, the sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer, he was buying. But Simon Peter, the disciple of the Lord, wasn't selling. So let me go back to Proposition 15. It is undeniable that the simoniacal selling and buying of bishoprics in the African American church is out of control. And that was proven in Proposition 14. Add to that the grand fortune that is being made with the selling of expensive episcopal vestments, jewelry, and furniture, not to mention the added cost of having an elevation and enthronement service fit for a king. So now, I want to show you that there's four things, put aside that bishoprics are being sold. Put that aside. We've already shown you that can go up to $10,000 in some instances if someone is offering you several streams of apostolic succession. It can cost maybe $25,000-$30,000, depending. So think about that. You're buying an office. In some cases, Lexi, on the Lexi show, Lexi Allen claims she bought one for $50. Well, we played the audio for you of a prophet on YouTube who is selling bishoprics for $50. That's most likely where Lexi Allen bought her bishopric. But then we played other audio where there are people, or there was one woman who said you can buy a bishopric for $10,000, and I share with you the conversation I had with a dear friend who did buy his bishopric for $10,000. He gave $4,000 to the chief consecrator, and he gave $3,000 apiece to two separate co-consecrators. So when you add $3,000 apiece to two co-consecrators, that gives you $6,000, and the $4,000 for the chief consecrator, you got $10,000. Now, putting aside that people are paying big bucks, because if you get someone who claims serious legitimacy as a metropolitan, you must be paying big bucks to have that guy consecrate you bishop. Must be paying big bucks. Big bucks. And you know what the hook, what my dear friend told me the hook was? He was told that once he pays the $10,000 and once he becomes a quote-unquote legitimate bishop, then he can offer his name. He can start signing documents, and he can start getting $3,000 a pop per elevation service. if he had, if he's asked to consecrate someone and he is a co-consecrator, he can start getting $3,000. So you see, you make a $10,000 investment, but you make your money back, or you hope to make your money back, with three or four of these consecrations. So it's an investment. It's like buying a franchise. You invest, you lay out a great sum of money, but over time you start making your money back, especially if you start prostituting your signature, as many bishops do, in order to get the $3,000 as co-consecrators. So let's put aside the cost of buying a bishopric. Let's because that was Proposition 14. In Proposition 15, I want to show you that there are four other things that are money makers in this thing called, that I call, Episcopal babble. The first is you have to buy vestments. What are vestments? Well, those are the clown suits that these guys wear. That's the Roman Catholic garb. And don't tell me it's Anglican, because the Anglican Church copied it from Rome. So when you say Anglican, you're just saying Rome. That's all you're saying. It's the same. They're one and the same. Rome and the Anglican Church are in bed together. And that's why the Roman Catholic Church is dead as a doornail, and the Anglican Church is dead as a doornail. And death is coming to the black church, because they've allowed this plague to come in. They've allowed it to come in. So there's death is on the horizon for the institutional black church in America. Having said that, the first immense cost is vestments, because now that you're going to be elevated to the bishopric, now you got to get a whole closet full of Episcopal garments. They're vestments. In fact, when you're having your elevation service, that's when they robe you. You see, that's when they dress you, and you gotta have the stuff there, because it's not gonna be a make believe service. You actually have to have the monkey suit there. You have to have made that great expense to get the monkey suit, so that when you have your elevation service, they can put it on you piece by piece. You see? So the first grand expense is getting a closet full of monkey wear, clown outfits, jackass uniforms. Call it what you will. Now, I'm about to release a book. It's called Episcopal Fashionistas. And in that book, I document how much everything costs, and I show all the pieces that you need, and how all of this stuff is pagan. Or the whole uniform, all of these Episcopal pieces to the vestment, all of it is pagan. It's all pagan. In fact, even before I move ahead, let me just read to you. This is out of a Catholic book. It's called Vestments and Church Furniture. Vestments and Church Furniture. This is volume 114 in the 20th Century Encyclopedia of Catholicism. I have the entire set. I have the entire encyclopedia. This is volume 114 of that series. This book, which is volume 114, is called Vestments and Church Furniture. Vestments and Church Furniture. I'm well schooled in this stuff. I know what I'm talking about, because I go to the stores. I have the books in my library. So let me read to you from page 106 and page 106. And this is just one source. This is just one, and this is right out of the horse's mouth. This is just one source, but in the book Episcopal Fashionistas, I just prove it to you again and again and again that all of this whole outfit is pagan, and it comes directly from Rome. So, on page 106 of this book, it says, all our liturgical vestures, all our liturgical vesture is modeled on that of polite Roman society of the last days of the empire, that is, of the 4th and 5th century. So all of these outfits that these guys are wearing in the black church, all of that came from Rome. That's how men dressed in Rome. And when we talk polite society, right, we're talking about the regal society. Well, that whole outfit was from Rome in the 4th and 5th century. Right here, right out of the horse's mouth. All of our liturgical vesture is modeled on that of polite Roman society of the last days of the empire, that is, of the 4th and 5th century. Right out of the horse's mouth. Now, again, I have other quotes from other books that shows that it even goes back to pagan Rome, because you know that there's pagan Rome, and then there's imperial Rome, and then there is papal Rome. So you got to know what Rome you're talking about. Pagan, imperial, papal. Okay. Now, you have vestments. Now, I want to read to you from the book, The Bishopric. Now, this is the book, if you can call it a book. And yes, I can be critical because I am an author. I know what a book of this genre ought to look like. And this book written by the Metropolitan of the Joint College of African American Bishops, who in his bio claims to have 3 doctorates. I don't know how a man with 3 doctorates wrote such a dopey book. This is nothing. This has no academia whatsoever. I mean, this is nonsensical. This is what I call gibberish. This is what you would expect to read from a person who gets off of a special ed bus, in my opinion. So in his book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Church, in chapter 1, which is on page 17, which is the title of chapter 1 is In the Beginning, the Need. He writes, "One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, 4 men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignias for the Episcopal office." So here are 4 guys going from New York to Philadelphia. For what purpose? To purchase vestments and insignias for the Episcopal office. Vestments and insignias for the Episcopal office. Okay. So as you can see, this guy is modeling himself after the Roman Catholic Church. He and his buddies are using the template of the Roman Catholic Church, and that's from the Metropolitan of the Joint College of African American Bishops. So I have here in Proposition 15, add to that the grand fortune that is being made with the selling of expensive Episcopal vestments. Now, that's just the clothing. That's just the garments. That's the stockings. The Mormons are the ones with the magic underwear. That's the Mormons. But these guys here, the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, they have stockings, matching stockings. I never heard of such a thing. I never heard about guys. I never heard about men who cared about matching socks. I know all the guys that I go hunting with, all of the guys that I hang out with, all of the men that I hang out with can care less about matching socks. But these guys have matching stock. The stockings have to match the trousers, and the stockings have to match the trousers and the slippers, and the stockings have. Who cares? Who cares? So you have vestments, and that includes from the skull cap, the zucchetto, all the way down to the stockings. They're not pantyhose, but they're almost there, almost pantyhose. Okay, so you have that expense. You gotta fill up your closet with these expensive garments. Okay, then you have the jewelry. And the jewelry, it's expensive. The jewelry, and it's not costume jewelry, folks. It's a real gold chain with a huge, it's a massive pectoral cross. It's a huge cross, gold cross. So you have the gold cross with the chain, Mr. T style. You know, the thick, remember back in the days when the rappers were walking around with the big boom boxes and those guys had gold chains around? Well, that's it. It's a gold chain like the rappers. It's got to be that thick. So you have the gold chain with the pectoral cross, must cost a fortune. And I got some audio on that. Must cost a fortune. And then you have the Episcopal ring. Now, again, let me read to you from this book. And I can't help but keep going back to the fact that the book is so dopey. It's just worthless. Now, let me go here to the ring, because part of the jewelry is the ring. It says, the ring, page 54, the ring is a symbol of royal sonship and episcopal collegiality. Oh, we're going to get into that word collegiality. That's a code word there. That's a code word. You got to be part of a secret society to know what collegiality means. But he says the ring is a symbol of royal sonship and episcopal collegiality. This ring is usually signet or jeweled. It is to be worn on the right hand ring finger. Interesting. Now, on page 56, he writes, on page 55, he says, grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. Who cares about the world? Jesus told us not to love the world, to care about what the world thinks. But this guy wants to impress the world community. Grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. It is required that we wear our hair well cut and groomed at all times. Facial hair must be kept extremely well trimmed and always in proper and tasteful lengths. Manicures are encouraged. Now think about this. These guys haven't worked a day in their life, and add to that manicures. So they can't even help at home with the dishes. Manicures are encouraged, and since it is with our hands that we impart blessings, we encourage our bishops and clergy alike to take special care to attend to this matter. He goes on to say, in the case of bishops, we would remind that our people venerate our office by kissing our episcopal ring or our right hand. We encourage people to kiss our episcopal ring. So as you can see, he's made mention of the ring. Now, let me go now to the pectoral cross on page 60. And again, I'm just using his book because I want to show you that this is prevalent in the black church. Pectoral cross, page 60. Pectoral cross and chain. of gold or silver is worn around the neck with the cross in the left breast pocket over the heart with the chain exposed. Overseers may wear the silver cross with the scarlet cord exposed over the breast in either the black breast front or the purple breast front. On occasion, the presiding bishop may elect to wear the scarlet breast front with civic attire, but on any occasion, the presiding bishop's dress is adorned with the pectoral cross and episcopal ring. So there you have it. There you have it. That's the those two pieces are the main pieces of the jewelry. So let me read to you. Again. From the book Episcopal Vestments and Church Furniture, Volume 114 in the 20th Century Encyclopedia of Catholicism on page 129. And all of this is going to be in my book, Episcopal Fashionistas. It says on page 129, we have already mentioned two episcopal insignia, which are only worn by the bishop from the day of his consecration. Namely, what are these two insignia? What are they? The pectoral cross, and the ring. So these guys are following the template of the Roman Catholic Church. Again, that's why, you see, when this man says, when this metropolitan of the black church says he wrote this book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, I argue that he ought to change the title. It ought to read The Bishopric, A Handbook on Copying, because he didn't create anything. He's just copying what the Roman Catholic Church did or is doing. A Handbook on Copying Episcopacy in the African-American church. So there you have it, folks. The garments, the vestments are of Roman origin, and the two pieces, the two main pieces of jewelry are the gold chain with the gold pectoral cross and the signet or the signet ring, the jeweled ring that the bishop wears, which is, it looks like an onion. That's how big it is. It looks like an onion on a finger. It's so grotesque, but they want it that big. So with the price of gold today, with the price of gold, can you imagine? Because in his book, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy, he says the gold chain has to be 40 inches in length. So with the price of gold, do you know how much a 40-inch gold chain is going to cost you? It's going to cost you a king's ransom. Do you know how much a pectoral – now, that's not with the pectoral cross. The pectoral cross is big money. So the chain and the pectoral cross are together. They go together. But a 40-inch gold chain, which is what he requires in his book, if you're going to be a bishop – the chain needs to be at least 40 to 36 inches long. He specifies. And if you've seen those crosses, I mean, they're huge. Those crosses are huge. So you have the vestments and the jewelry. Now, from the same series, from the 20th Century Encyclopedia on Catholicism, out of volume 83 now, volume 83 is entitled, What is a Bishop? Out of that volume, volume 83, I was reading to you from volume 114, Vestments and Furniture for the Bishop. Now I'm reading to you, What is a Bishop? On page 102, on the book or the book entitled What is a Bishop, it reads, speaking about when the bishop or when the man, the priest, gets the notification that he's going to be made a bishop, now he starts his preparation. The author goes on to say, from the material point of view, there are so many objects and belongings to be obtained. See, he's saying, listen, when the priest gets the notification that he is being elevated to a bishop, he says, from the material point of view, there are many objects and belongings to be obtained. He goes on to say, a list might interest some readers. What is on this list? Speaking of vestments, a cassocks, plural, not a cassock, but cassocks, plural, with crimson piping, purple cassocks, and fringed girdles of the same color. Think about that, a man wearing a girdle. Is it any wonder that those guys like little boys? Okay, let me move on. Let me behave myself. Okay, it says purple cassocks, plural, with fringed girdles of the same color, a purple cloak and gloves for certain occasions, a choir habit, a rochet with red apparel as on the obs, the mozzetta, green and gold cord with a chain for a pectoral cross, a mitre, precious golden, tunicles, gloves, stockings, and sandals of each color for pontifical masses, ring, crozier, ewer, candlesticks, salver, cruets for the holy oils, books. I'm telling you. It concludes by saying this. What a mass of vestments and insignia, as costly as they are numerous. Did you listen? Did you hear that last piece there? It says, all of this, as costly as they are numerous. Now, you want to know when this book was written? This book that I'm talking to you about, this book, volume 83, What is a Bishop? It was published, the year it was published, by Hawthorne Books, which is the publisher in New York. This book was published in 1962. Back in 1962, they were telling you that the bishop, when he becomes a bishop, getting all of this stuff is as costly as they are numerous. So you have vestments, you have jewelry. But what else do you have? You have furniture. You see, because now the guy's being elevated. And if the guy's being elevated, if he's being made a bishop, then with the office of a bishop comes certain furniture. I'll mention one of the pieces of furniture because you can read the rest of it in the book, Episcopal Fashionistas. But one of the pieces of furniture is the cathedra. The cathedra. What is the cathedra? Well, the cathedra is a fancy word for the bishop's throne. You see, the bishop is considered a king. That's right, in case you didn't know. That's why, when a bishop is going to get elevated, it's called elevation / enthronement service. Elevation / enthronement. He's being placed on a throne. The big chair that only the bishop can sit in is called a cathedra. And the church over which the bishop presides is called a cathedral. If you have a church and it's called a cathedral, and there's no bishop there as pastor, it can't be a cathedral. Because what makes a cathedral is that it has a bishop in the church leading it, and it has a cathedra, his chair or his throne there. Now, each bishop gets to pick his own chair with his own wood carvings. I mean, this stuff gets stylish and it gets expensive. It's just one of the pieces of furniture. Again, you can read about the furniture in the book, Vestments and Church Furniture, Volume 114 by Hawthorne Press, which was also published in, let me give you the correct date, which was also published in, oh, this one was 1960. And the furniture hasn't changed, and the vestments haven't changed, and the pectoral cross and the signet rings haven't changed. I mean, that's all part and parcel. So you have vestments, you have jewelry, you have furniture. And you know, folks, you know furniture is expensive, especially when you're making furniture for a king. Because this, you can't buy stuff made out of compressed wood. You can't go to Walmart or Kmart or Odd Lot or any of these new stores that have popped up. Pier 1, you can't go to Pier 1 and buy the bishop's chair there. That's not happening. This is they're special furniture companies that make Episcopal chairs. You're talking, this is big money, folks, big money. And you know that bishop wants to have his chair in the church. Now, he can be the bishop of a little storefront church, and that big chair, I mean, the big chair takes up most of the space, but he's got to have his throne. Even in the store, I mean, I visited several storefront churches, and they had those huge thrones because the guy's a bishop of 10 people. But he had his throne, and that thing is big. It took up the whole platform. You couldn't put any more chairs on the platform. His chair alone. He's sitting up there like a god. Well. You have vestments. You have jewelry. You have furniture. And then not to mention, my dear brothers and sisters, it cost an arm and a leg. It cost a king's ransom to put together one of these elevation and enthronement services. I mean, remember, it's got to be fit for a king because that's what the bishop is becoming, a king. So there is big money. I mean, you have to find, you got to, he may be the bishop of a storefront church, but no one is consecrating him. No one's elevating him in a storefront church. You have to rent a church that can house a venture such as an elevation and enthronement service. It's got to be the right venue. The venue's got to reflect the enthronement. And you don't enthrone a king in a storefront. You just don't do that. So it's got to be the right venue. And that costs money. Not to mention the cost of invitations. Oh, do they send out some jazzy invitations? Oh, do they? I mean, listen, they got to invite people. They have to have a staff. Photographer, videographer. I mean, they have photographers and videographers. This is a major undertaking. When the bishop is bishop elect for 1 year, I mean, they spend the whole year planning this stuff and saving money for this stuff. Now, my question to you is, who's profiting? Have you ever thought about who's profiting from selling these vestments? Who's profiting from selling the jewelry? Who's profiting from selling the furniture? Someone is profiting. Someone is making buco dollars. Someone is making a fortune. It is not by coincidence, folks, it's not by coincidence that they are asking all future bishops who are bishop-elects, they even give them a year to come up with the money to buy the bishopric. They tell them where to go get these clothes, the jewelry, the furniture, and then to come up with the money for the elevation. You know, when you have a co-consecrate, when you have two co-consecrators coming to your elevation, and you have the chief consecrator, you know you have to fly them in. You're not flying in three highfalutin bishops in coach. You know, you're not putting them on a Greyhound bus. You're not, no, they're not coming by trailway. They're coming first class. They are staying at a five-star hotel. Listen, folks, this is big money. Big money. Big money. So, I have some audio for you just to show you that I didn't make any of this up, because I don't make anything up. And before we actually get to the audio, I just want to play a little bit of the OJs. And the OJs, this is for the love of money. See, this is what this is all about, for the love of money. This is simony. Folks, this is simony. Someone is making big money. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. Who's making the money? Someone is getting kickbacks. Because, look, think about it. Think about it, Saints. Is it far-fetched that if you keep sending people to your company to buy vestments, to buy rings, to buy crosses, to buy furniture, would it be far-fetched to say that maybe the people that you're sending are saying, you're giving them a letter saying, give them this letter and tell them I sent you, and then that'll get that person who sent you a kickback? Maybe some of these bishops own the vestment company. Maybe they own shares in the rings and in the pectoral cross company, the company who, you know, cranks out this jewelry. You never know where our investigation is going to lead us. You never know. Because in buying the office, you need a lot of money. In buying the vestments, you need a lot of money. In buying the rings and the crosses and the chains, you need a lot of money. In buying the furniture, you need a lot of money. In buying and in having and in hosting an elevation service, you better come up with a lot of money. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars for all of this. And somebody's getting a cut for the love of money. And I'm playing the OJs because black people can, you know, hey, the OJs. We know the OJs. All of these guys, all of these African-American bishops, when I play the OJs, they know what I'm talking about. What is it? Money, 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 money. When I think of vestments, folks, when I think of vestments, and I think of furniture, and I think of jewelry, and I think of elevation service, and I think of bishoprics, you know what I hear in my mind? I hear cash registers opening and closing. They're making money hand over fist. I hear this. What is it that I hear? I hear ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. I mean, the cash register is just ka-ching all day long. Because they're turning out these bishops every day. This thing is out of control. And I can hear the OJ singing, money, 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 for the love of money. Now, let me just show you that in these churches, they have the big chair, they have the cathedra, Let me just play this for you. Here's one bishop, and in a teaching session in what he calls a magisterium, which again is a Roman Catholic term, we hear this bishop talking and teaching a class, and they're going to ask him a question about the big chair, in other words, the cathedra. And again, he talks about the presiding bishop having the big chair in the house. And the big chair is his throne. Here it is. Because I don't want you to think that this does not exist in the black church. Oh, it's in the black church, and it's in every black church, even in storefront churches. You'll find the big chair.
But I don't know if you wanted to mention the height of the chair being high.
Sure, thank you. Because we can't do everything in these short courses.
Yeah.
But another piece about protocol is you see for pecking order, notice that the center chair is higher than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
That is deliberate. It's so that people who enter in automatically knows who the chief shepherd of the church is. That is the person that sits in that chair. Is the person that is guiding the church at this season of life.
In other words, the bishop. The bishop has the big chair, the cathedra. If you want to look up the word in the Greek, you'll find it in Matthew 23, verse 1. Cathedra. Jesus mentioned it and said Moses' seat. He said the scribes and the Pharisees will sit in Moses' cathedra. The problem is Moses never had a cathedra. Moses never set himself up as a king. Moses never set himself up as a bishop. So when Jesus talks about Moses' seat or Moses' cathedra, he's talking about a seat that men set up. But that's not biblical. That's not part. When you read the tabernacle furniture, when you read what God told Moses to make, God never told Moses to make himself a big chair. See, that's the invention of man. That's man coming into the church, and that's why you find that the Jews had cathedrals, and then the Romans copied them. When I mean the Romans, I mean the Roman Catholics. And what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say of the Jews of his day? You are of your father, the devil. So think about it. The Jews of Jesus' day who had the big chair, Jesus said to them, you are of your father, the devil. Now, Roman Catholic bishops have the big chair. Who do you think their father is? The devil. Because Jesus warns his disciples about wanting to sit in the big chair. He said, the Pharisees and the scribes, they look to sit in the chief seats, in the prominent seats, in the big chair. But it shall not be so among you, Jesus said to his disciples. So there's a big chair, and that's why when I hear these guys talk about the big chair, and I hear them talking about the vestments, and I hear them talking about the rings, I just hear this. That's what you hear. That's what you hear. Big money being made. But here's more. Here's another ordination service. And let's listen to all the stuff that they put on this person.
God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ.
Well, now this is the chief consecrator. He said, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. And he's handing this new bishop a 40-inch chain, gold chain, with a huge cross. But I got news for this chief consecrator. Jesus wasn't crucified on a gold cross. He was crucified on a wooden cross. So you see how clever the devil is. Do you see how clever the devil is? Jesus wasn't crucified on a gold cross, on a wooden cross. But he's given this new bishop a golden cross, and he's saying, and he's serious now. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. The problem is that's not the cross of Jesus Christ. That's a man-made, prideful article of jewelry.
God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. This cross made of precious gold, it's not pretty. It's symbolic.
No, it is pretty. It is. What are you, stupid? This guy thinks we're stupid. No, of course it is pretty. If it was symbolic, why wouldn't you have a $2 wooden cross? Why wouldn't you just go to some tree, cut out two pieces of wood, nail them together, and wrap that around your neck? No, they're not going to. No. He says, oh, it's not pretty. It's symbolic. No, it's a scam. This guy's talking two sides out of his mouth.
I got two people I gave them to. I asked for them back that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. This cross made of precious gold, it's not pretty.
Of course it's pretty. It's made out of precious gold. What do you mean it's not pretty? That's why you had this person buy it, and that's why everyone there has one, because it is pretty. You're not going to put cosmetic jewelry on there. You're not going to turn to the Home Shopping Network and buy one of those fake crosses. No. It's precious gold. Precious gold. Of course it's pretty. That's why they have it around their neck.
It's symbolic. Her chain is worn in her left breast pocket, in a suit, on a vestment. It's worn exposed. But it's not something to be just admired. The chain means she's a prisoner. Your sentence is life. You can never get out.
It's a racket. This is a racket. Can you believe this guy? This is a racket. Who's he conning? And the poor folks, amen. What are you amen to? What are you agreeing with this guy? He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. You can never get out. This is not a prison sentence. This is a racket. This is organized crime. That's what this is. And I'm entitled to my opinion. And if you don't like it, get on the broadcast and debate me.
But it's not something to be just admired. The chain means she's a prisoner. Your sentence is life.
An easy life at that, because, you're the master of the plantation. As the bishop, you're the master of the plantation. And then you have house Negroes, and you have field Negroes, and you're just running, please. They're sitting up there like kings.
You can never get out.
Yes. Hallelujah.
These people are just drinking the Kool-Aid. They're just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Her ring, symbol of government.
Wait a minute, I thought she was a slave. How can a slave, when you look at Spartacus was a slave. Now, you can't tell Spartacus he's a slave and then tell him that he's the symbol of government. It doesn't line up, folks. None of our ancestors who were slaves in America our ancestors who live on southern plantations who were slaves, you can't tell them they were symbols of government. Either you're the king or you're the slave. If you're the king, you rule. If you're the slave, you serve. You can't be both now. That doesn't make any sense.
A ring, a symbol of government, and collegiality with her fellow bishops. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority.
A slave, on the one hand, she has a cross that's a symbol that she's a slave, and then he puts a ring on this person and then says, now she is a leader, she's the symbol of government and of power and authority. That is speaking out of both sides of the mouth.
And we respect her, truthfully. You don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach, bishop.
Ah. Oh, I didn't know that. Just read up, how you bishop? Put your hand down and just speak. And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug her and squeeze her and bang her into us. Don't do that.
Well, that's idolatry. See? So on the one hand, they give you a supposed chain, gold chain. A gold chain, it's gorgeous. It's a huge cross. It must cost thousands of dollars with the price of gold. And they tell you, we're giving this to you because you're a slave. I don't know of any slave on the plantation that the master gave a gold chain to. I don't know of any. I don't know of any. And then you put a ring on her finger and say, now you're a slave now, but we're going to kiss your ring finger. That's idolatry, folks. That's idolatry. So I already played the furniture part for you, the big chair. Now you heard about the chain, the pectoral cross, and the ring, right? Okay. Now, here you're going to hear about the crozier, because there's other things that the bishop must buy, other things that he must buy. Bogus stuff, okay? For example, the crozier, a shepherd's staff. Now, if you're a shepherd, just go. What are you gonna use that shepherd's staff on? On your members? Are you honestly gonna spend $1,000 on a shepherd's staff? It's ornamental. It's just an ornament. You're not gonna shepherd anybody with that. It's nonsense. Here it is.
These are his armor bearers. I give you the shepherd's staff in your left hand. In your left hand. The only thing you hold in your right hand is the word of God, but you keep your right hand free to bless and free to greet the people, free to receive their respect and their adulation. God bless you. And
did you hear that? In your left hand, you keep the shepherd's staff, which is a big wand. He's like a druid. He's like an ancient British druid, right? He's got a wand, like Marlin. Remember Marlin? Merlin, and King Arthur's court, Merlin, a wand. Okay. So he's got this crozier. That's in his left hand. and with his right hand, leave your right hand available so that you can bless the people and receive their adulation. And what is their adulation? What does the Oxford Dictionary say the adulation is? It's called veneration. It's to receive the veneration of the people. In other words, now you are a little God, and they're going to come and venerate you. Listen to this again.
The only thing you hold in your right hand is the word of God, but you keep...
Now, why even hold the word of God? You're not even following the word of God. You don't even submit to the word of God. It's a joke.
Keep your right hand free to bless and free to greet the people, free to receive their respect and their adulation.
Free to receive the people's respect and adulation. I would encourage you to look up the word adulation and find out what the definition is, and it means veneration. It means excessive admiration. It's called veneration, hero worship. That's what adulation is. So, you see, this is all about money, folks, money. What do you have? What do you have? You have the cost of these vestments, tens of thousands of dollars. This stuff is expensive. The cost of the jewelry. You have the cost of the elevation service itself and the cost of the furniture. And then the final cost is keeping these guys, keeping them happy in their opulent lifestyle. Keeping them happy, because they're not going to be happy unless you support them. And that's what black folk wind up doing. They wind up supporting these bishops. They wind up supporting these bishops who want to live as kings. Now, our communities are hurting. Our people need help. Our people need to be shepherded. Our people need to be loved and cared for. They don't need to be abused. They don't need to be abused. They don't need to be taken to the cleaners. They don't need it. Now, how are these guys getting the money for all of this, you ask? How are they getting the money? How are they getting the money for their rings and their pectoral crosses? I'm going to tell you how. They're asking their members to buy their stuff. That's right. They're asking their members. Each bishop elect is asking his congregation to foot the bill to get him what he wants, each one. Now, here's an example of a bishop elect asking his members to donate their gold, the gold that's around their necks, so that he can take that gold and have the pectoral cross, and the 40-inch chain made out of their combined gold. Listen to this.
You know, KP, I noticed you had your gold necklace on. What you got that on for?
Here's what's going on. Our pastor is being elevated to bishop this summer. So what we as a family of faith would like to do is donate some of our gold so that our pastor can have the gold chain made for him as he's elevated to bishop.
Did you hear that? They're doing this dopey commercial. They're asking other members to donate the gold around their neck so that the future bishop can have the huge gold chain, the Mr. T type gold chain, the 1980s rapper gold chain around his neck with a pectoral cross. Listen to this. This is mind-boggling. This is mind-boggling. They're already cleaning these people out by taking their tithes and offerings. Now they're going a step further. And these dopey members, because that's what you are, you're stupid, to be even smiling and even going along with this agenda. I mean, they've already cleaned you out. Now they're coveting your gold so that he can have a gold. Oh, this is absurd. And you think I would make something like this up. But that's why we play the audio.
You You know, KP, I noticed you had your gold necklace on. What you got that on for?
I noticed you had your gold chain on. What's that for?
Here's what's going on. Our pastor is being elevated to bishop this
summer. Our pastor is being elevated to bishop this summer.
So what we as a family of faith would like to do is donate some of our gold.
We want to donate some of our gold.
So that our pastor can have a gold chain made for him as he's elevated to bishop.
So notice, all these folk together, they're going to put up their gold. All these folk, now they're going to put up their gold so that he can have a huge chain. Think about that. I'm looking at these two people here, and she's got a nice gold chain. Well, that's not enough. Her gold chain's not, no. They're asking church members to all donate their gold so that this guy can have a massive rope around his neck, a gold rope with a gold chain. It's crazy. And these two lobotomized idiots are volunteering because that's what they are. You have to be an idiot to not see that. I mean, it's a pyramid scam. Your church is a pyramid scam where all the money flows upward. And the guy's already living high in the hog. And now you got a little bit of gold, and now you're encouraging the people to give that so that this guy can have a gold chain befitting a king in the church.
You know, KP, I noticed you had your gold necklace on. What you got that on for?
Here's what's going on. Our pastor is being elevated to bishop this summer. So what we as a family of faith would like to do is donate some of our gold so that our pastor can have a gold chain made for him as he's elevated to bishop. So want to know a little bit more about the bishopric offering? Check out this video.
The bishopric offering. How many offerings does this guy already get? But now he's going to get the bishopric offering.
From Bishop Ricky Washington.
And they opened their treasures and presented him gifts. What's the first gift go? My presentation is to prepare you for the gold offering. Now,
he's using a text where the three magi came to visit Jesus, and one of the magi gave Jesus gold. So now, you see, since the Roman Catholic Church teaches that every bishop is the vicar of Christ, or every bishop is the replacement of Christ, now this fool is asking church members to, like, the same way the Magi brought Jesus gold, or one of the Magi did, now they're saying, we want you to bring your bishop, who is the vicar of Christ, we want you to bring him gold, like if he was a king.
You for the gold offer. My presentation...
Bishop's offering, check out this video from Bishop Ricky Washington.
And they opened their treasures and presented him gifts. What's the first gift go? My presentation is to prepare you for the gold offering. Now, let's deal with this. They're so into people that may not need it. Not that he needed it, but I need something.
See, now, the bishop don't need it. See, the bishop don't need your gold. But you need to give it, because when you give it, then you get blessed. You see the con game? The bishop don't need it. The bishop don't need your money. In fact, the bishop don't even want me to ask you for the gold. But I'm, you see, the bishop don't want me, but the bishop has you there asking for it. Oh, the bishop told me don't raise the gold offering, but I'm here to do it. Now, who does something that the bishop don't want done? Nobody. This is a ruse.
The making a bishop's chain. And remember, he don't need it. He really told me, Bishop, I don't want to do it.
So then don't do it. If the bishop told you he don't want you to do it, don't do it. Because he said to him, I don't need it. But obviously he wants it. And you're his stooge. You're doing his dirty work. Do you notice how all of these guys talk out of both sides of their mouths? And dopey people fall for it. Dopey people say, amen. Dopey people lend themselves and say, let's all of us give our goal so the bishop can have his goal changed. Well, let the bishop buy it himself. The bishop is wealthy. Let him buy his own gold chain. What you poor black people doing coming up with the money?
But I need something. Offering for the making of bishop's chain. And we're, remember, he don't need it. He really told me, Bishop, I don't want to do it. I said, man, just sit back, because this is a way the people can be a part of what God is doing in your life.
It's about the money. So, as you can see, the selling of bishoprics in the black church is out of control, but so is the selling and buying of vestments, the selling and buying of jewelry, the selling and buying of furniture, and the exuberant cost of holding an elevation enthronement service. And all of this money that is circulating in the black church is being pulled out of the hands of poor black people to pamper a bunch of prima donnas who ought to be, in my opinion, kicked out of the church and go told to go work at McDonald's. We're going to leave it there, saints. I'm going to play out the OJs. I'm going to play the OJs for the love of money. You know, when you listen to the OJs, when you listen to the song, they are preaching the gospel. They are quoting the Apostle Paul. Listen to the OJs. They're preaching gospel. These bishops are preaching falsehood. I'd rather listen to the OJs than to the bishops. And I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 16. God bless you.
A lot of weight. Okay.